What's up, everyone? It's Jay Ray, the co-host of Q Points. And one really important way that you can support our show is by subscribing to it wherever you listen to podcasts. Q Points is pretty much everywhere. One of those places where you can subscribe, and we highly encourage it, is on Apple Podcasts. If you visit qpnt.net/Apple Podcasts, you could subscribe to the show and listen to all of the episodes. And please, please, please leave us 5 stars, because you know you love Q Points, and leave us a review. We really want to hear from you, and it helps to spread the word about the show. It's that simple. Thanks so much for tuning into Q Points, and thank you so much for supporting us. Have a great one. Thanks for tuning into Q Points. Before you take in this show, we want to acknowledge that neither DJ Sir Daniel or Jay Ray support Azealia Banks's transphobic and homophobic comments that she's made over the course of her career in any way, shape, or form. As members of the LGBTQ+ community, we condemn any statements of hatred against our and any community. This show is meant as an examination of Banks's musical output and nothing more. Stuff can be two things. Azealia Banks can make transphobic and homophobic statements and still make music that we enjoy at the same time. Enjoy the show.
Hello, hello, and welcome back. Happy New Year, everybody. I am DJ Sir Daniel.
Yo, everybody. My name is Jay Ray, sometimes known by my government as Johnny Ray Cornegay the Third. What's happening, people?
Welcome back to the best damn podcast, visual podcast on the planet. Q Points, a visual podcast and safe space for meaningful discussions about Black music and the artists that we love. Again, I am so happy to see everybody here already checking in, because the topic is spicy, because the person we're talking about is extra spicy. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. What's up? Listen, I see Keys in the building already. Wani Love It, K Maxwell. Our people's from They Might Be Taping all the way out in L.A. What's up? So good to see you in the place. J-Ray, before we get started, and again, you know, it's the new year, but it seems like
we're starting off the same episode, way, man.
The same exact way. We have to pay homage to Jesse D, mm-hmm. who passed away yesterday at the young age of 58. Jesse D is from the iconic, legendary, I refer to them as the first hip-hop doo-wop group.
They really were. Yeah. They set the blueprint for that.
Absolutely. The vocals with the hip-hop sensibility. They were breakdancing. Anyway, Jesse D was a founding member of the Force MDs. They appeared in the hip-hop classic. Well, classic is kind of hard, but the movie Rapping, some people didn't necessarily appreciate Rapping for what it was at the time. And I know you love Crush Groove, though, and mm-hmm. their song Tender Love was interwoven throughout the whole movie Crush Groove. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you absolutely are familiar with the Force MDs. Most recently, okay, you fans of Pose. Mm-hmm. We're introduced to Love is a House by the Force MDs, which is what closed out the end of season one of Pose. So you are very familiar with the Force MDs and the blueprint that they laid down. And I gotta say, rest in peace. Jesse D is the fifth member of the Force MDs to pass away. Yeah. So there's a few members that are very few members that are left. Did you know, J-Ray, did you know that it was the Force MDs on singing backup on Ghostface Killah's Daytona 5000?
I did not know that. And Daytona 5000, that joint is so hard. Oh my God. I never knew that. Wow.
That's them harmonizing at the very beginning of Daytona 5000. Mm-hmm.
We are the G.O.D.s. I didn't know.
Yes, that's them. So rest in peace, Jesse D. Foursome D's. And we also want to offer up prayers. Let's Key Points family, let's offer up prayers for DJ K Slay, who is reportedly on a respirator due to COVID. Mm-hmm. And it's no joke, y'all. It's getting closer and closer, hitting closer and closer to home. So please take care of yourselves out there. But K Slay, I gotta say, is in my opinion, K Slay was part of that wave of DJs in the early 90s, mm-hmm. and they found power in numbers, because mm-hmm. you saw him, Funkmaster Flex, Big mm-hmm. Cat, rest in peace. All of them were like a conglomerate, yeah. a movement. They ran the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was moving in New York if they weren't touching the turntables. And they showed the industry mm-hmm. that DJs wield a lot of power in the clubs and in the streets.
Yeah. And these are also DJs that you ended up knowing their voices. I do think, yeah. you know, of course, Red Alert and Kid Capri were kind of like the godfathers of that. But these were also DJs that you heard their voices and you knew who they were and made that a thing to get on the record and just, you know what I'm saying, introduce the record. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, introducing mixtape culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were legit at the forefront of mixtape culture. And, you know, I don't want to talk about K-Slay in the past tense.
Absolutely.
You know, let's keep our fingers crossed and keep those prayers going up. So, I know what the people are here for. They are waiting because you guys have been super excited about this particular topic. We're talking about none other than the Harlem's finest herself, Azealia Banks. And we're just going to have a really dope discussion about music. There have, between J-Ray and myself, we said, let's pick three mm-hmm. songs a piece of when Azealia Banks completely rocked our world. Mm-hmm. And you guys have been very vocal as well about what you like about Azealia Banks. But before we do that, mm-hmm. J-Ray, when did you become cognizant of Azealia Banks?
Through you, actually. I think it was like 2012. Mm-hmm. So right around the time that Fantasy was released was the first time I became aware of Azealia Banks. And one of your favorites was the song that introduced me to her. And then I went back. I had heard 212. I just didn't know who that was. You know what I'm saying? Because that was such a big record. But around 2012. And what I found remarkable about what she was doing at the time, and quite frankly, nobody's attempted to do this and it's weird, but she was doing that late 80s, early 90s thing where you brought the rhymes into the club, you know what I'm saying? And brought the club into the rhymes, you know what I'm saying? And so many folks had gotten away from that. And I forgot how much I loved that energy where it's like, yes, when I'm on the dance floor kicking it to some house, I also want to hear a rapper too. And Azealia gave us an opportunity to hear a rapper over some dance beats.
Absolutely. And you're right. You took the answer out of my mouth. It was, mm-hmm. that's what attracted me to her, was that it was so reminiscent mm-hmm. of that late 80s, early 90s hip house. They coined it hip house back in the day. And what I think, what I found so astounding was like how masterful she was with it. Mm-hmm. She was quite young. She was young at the time. She was born in 1991.
Right.
And so at the time I was like, what you know about, you know, hip hop and all of that. And I was like, and I would hear these beats and I was like, okay, this mm-hmm. is snapping. You know, this is reminding me of giving me Queen Latifah coming to my house.
Yes.
And very skillful with it. Mm-hmm. No bubblegum rhymes, exactly keys. The pen was very masterful. And let me tell you how I became aware of Azealia Banks was when I was working at a gentleman's club here in Atlanta back in the day at DJing. I don't remember that era.
I do remember that era.
And the particular promoter was a fan of like all types of music, clubby music. And anybody out there that's a DJ, whenever a promoter or someone tells you, do you think you could play something a little more, I don't know, international, something, you know, a little bouncier. Right. That means we want something that appeals to white folks. We want some clubby music that white folks would like because we want to bring in white folks too because they we want their money. So anyway, so he started playing this video of Azalea, and it was the 212 video. And I was like, I like the energy, the youthfulness of it, you know, the bounce of it. It was super cool, super dope. I was like, okay, my ears and eyes were at attention. I was like, okay, I'm going to follow this young lady because at that time there was not a lot on the female rap forefront except for, you know, Miss Onika.
Nikki was it at that time.
And she definitely brought a different kind of flavor. So, in preparation for this show, we asked you all to rank your favorite Azalea Banks projects. And are we going to enter results now? No, but you know what?
Yeah, we could do it. Let's do it all at the same time because they could still do it. I'm going to leave this open.
All right,
so, let's do that. Yeah, so check this out, y'all. So like Sir Daniel said, we asked y'all to vote. We're going to talk about the vote in a second, but I'm going to put in the chat because y'all could still go vote. Right. And okay. So when y'all go vote though, there's a thing that's going to happen. Y'all are going to get invited to our Janet Jackson documentary watch party. You need to RSVP for that because it's going to appear on your screen. So while you're there, RSVP for our Janet Jackson documentary watch party because it's going to be a jam. It's going to be me and Sir Daniel and we're going to be watching it all together. We're going to bring you in. So that's going to happen. But go vote. You know, when you have an opportunity, just click the button. Now, so Sir Daniel,
yes.
Here's what happened. So as folks can see, Slazy was in last place because it didn't get any votes. I have a conversation I want to have about that. Sure. Are tied at number two is Fantasy and 1991. And coming out at number one is Broke with Expensive Taste. That is the one that y'all said was our joint.
Overwhelmingly number one. And I get it. I understand why. That there was a lot of push behind that. Behind that particular project. And all intents and purposes, the critics ate it up, loved it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there was so much anticipation for that record as well. She had built up such a buzz. To Keys's point earlier, like her pen had been, like she was just like smashing joints that she jumped on. So we were waiting for the record. And so by the time the record came, it was like, oh, and I think it was Trey. Trey, if you're on, let us know. But I think you said that Chasing Time was one of your favorite songs of the last decade. And for me, Chasing Time, when I saw that video, I said, this it's next level. This woman is amazing. Like, give her all her flowers.
Absolutely. And what's even funnier about this poll, J. Ray, is that when we put it out, everybody, and I do mean everybody, was weighing in on this, and we got some responses that we were super surprised by. Like, we were like, we didn't even know Fonte, Tigolo, was on our radar and weighed in regarding that big beat and Luxury will forever be his jam.
That... Man, listen, so Fonte done came on to the Twitter and weighed in on this. And here, there's two things about this that I wanted to bring up, Sir Daniel, and I'm curious to your thoughts. One, definitely we want to thank Fonte for for retweeting this because it got a lot of attention on this particular poll. And you know, because we're huge fans of him and all the work that he's done with foreign exchange, and just Fonte is amazing. Question, Sir Daniel. Luxury, I got. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, listen, of course, that was one of the joints from Broke with Expensive Taste. Amazing joint. I love Big Big Beat, which was on Slay Z. You know, also on Slay Z was, I'm going to pull it up. Along the Coast, which I love that joint. That joint goes.
And it was unexpected, but go ahead, finish.
Right. So my question to you is, why do you think folks didn't pick Slay Z on that whole list we did? Why not Slay Z?
I have a couple theories. I think there were like a few bumps in the road at that time with Slay Z. There was there was a mix-up with the cover. Well, not really a mix-up, but there was some controversy surrounding the cover because she's topless on the cover. Mm-hmm. And I think she initially put it out with her topless and had the title somewhere else on the cover, and then received some backlash and was like, okay, I gotta yank this and create a clean version cover with her chest covered up. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of like a hiccup. And then there was also, I think, the growing kind of Azealia Banks hate train was starting to gain steam, you know, because of a couple comments, because of, you know, she had become the butt of a lot of jokes. There was the whole the chicken and the feathers. People that follow her on Instagram know about that whole thing. But there was, and I wanted to say this as we got started about this conversation regarding Azealia Banks. And when we were approaching the days up to this show, I just thought it was interesting that Q Points, I have to say this, Q Points is always going to be a place where Black women are celebrated and spoken of and to respectfully. Mm-hmm. Any sisters that come on this show or that watch our show will never have to worry about being shamed and treated in an ugly manner like other podcasts out there. I'm not going to speak on, we know what happened. We know what happened publicly on another podcast to another Black woman who spoke up for herself. And that made me think of how people treated Azealia Banks or the lack of grace that she has been given over the years. Mm-hmm. Because part of our discussion about this is, why hasn't she gotten more acclaim? Mm-hmm. It seems like she has a niche audience.
Yeah.
Even though the audience is huge, she's not struggling for fans by any means, but she's just not there. She's not at that top. And there is still such hate, for lack of a better term, harbored for her.
Mm. You know what? I do think, picking up on what you said, and I'm so glad. Okay. So here's the thing, y'all. And Sir Daniel, I haven't even said this to you. I got nervous about doing this show after we agreed to do it, right? I was excited about it at the beginning. I'm like, yes, we need to have the conversation. And then I got nervous. I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Like, and last night, when we started seeing those tweets come in, is when I finally understood that there is room for, is it people want to see Azealia Banks win.
They
unequivocally want to see Azealia Banks win. And I love, to your point that you just said, Sir Daniel, that we are taking this opportunity to celebrate her musical output, because there are no other women who were rapping. I can't even think of anybody now who are kind of doing it like Azealia is doing it and has done it.
Yeah. And we're going to hop off of this and we're going to get to I know what you want to hear. You want to hear what our top three are, because we're so important. But I do want to say that I would like to challenge all of us that want to see Azealia to win, see her win, I want to challenge us to stop referring to her as our problematic fave.
We got to let it go.
We don't do that to anybody else, especially to any of the male performers who have showed their behinds in public
time and time again
regarding, you know, different communities and people and other topics. So I would just say, if she is your fave, just say she's your fave, regardless. Stand in that and support this Black woman. And that's it. I just want to challenge y'all. I know sometimes she's like, I feel like she's my kid sister, and I'm just like, it's like, shut up. What are you doing? You know better. You know, just, you know better, kid, and just let that go. But so yeah, that's just how I feel about the situation. And let's go on. Do you remember? Okay, let's do this.
Okay.
You want to hit people off with your number three real quick?
Okay, we're going to do a number three. So we're going to go into, we at the chalkboard now, y'all. Okay, so we at the chalkboard.
Come on, class.
Come on, class. Come on. We're going to talk about our six times that Azealia Banks rocked our world. So my number three selection.
Ooh.
Yo, okay, so let me tell y'all something about Desperado. So I'm broke with expensive taste. That joint, what I love about it is it has all of these, what Quincy Jones would call, it's like ear candy. It has all of these little things in it that draw you in. And there's that Peter Rosenberg intro, which encapsulates why Broke With Expensive Taste did so well, where he's like, I've been waiting for Azealia Banks. Like, people had been waiting for her at that time. Yeah. And then she comes in with this rhyme over this crazy, it's definitely a dance beat, but it has so many other elements to it. And Desperado is a joint I often play. And if I had a, well, actually all three of these joints on here are like my constant Azealia Banks, but yes, my number three was Desperado. Sir Daniel, what was your number three?
All right, before I reveal that, Desperado is dope. And when I first heard Desperado, it made me think, not just because of the title, but it made me think of the Fugees. Mm-hmm. And that feeling I got when the score came out.
Yep.
There were elements of Desperado that automatically took me to the score.
Yes.
Like audio elements. And I was like, oh, it's 1995 again. This, you right. know, but it feels current. It still feels current. And Azealia wrote the beat. So good number choice. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my number three off of the 1991 EP is Van Vogue. Van Vogue is, listen, it's just, I love that the you know, again, hip house. Mm-hmm. I came of age in the golden era and late 80s, early 90s, and hip house, you know, means a lot to me. And Van Vogue, it was not only the fact that she was riding the beat, but the flow is ridiculous.
Yes.
And seeing it live is another story. Do you recall us seeing her live here in Atlanta?
I do.
At the masquerade,
the new masquerade that they had opened.
The masquerade at the underground. And I just remember waiting for Van Vogue to come through. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear the 4/4 clap.
Yep.
And you hear the dog bark.
Right.
It's like, just like Desperado, these little nuggets and everything is in sync and in beat, and it's playful, but it's like, I'm nice with it at the same time.
Yes.
And it gives you everything that you need. So my number three is Van Vogue off the 1991 EP.
Okay.
And so before we go on to the next one, would you say that Azealia Banks is a case study in, like, this generation of musicians, this DIY generation of musicians? Because for all intents and purposes, I don't know of her being completely signed to a major.
Mm-hmm.
She's always handled all her production. If you notice, if you follow her, she's been mainly in control of a lot of things and putting out product directly right. To her audience.
Yeah. I think so. I think that is both. That's both a positive and a negative, right? I think the opportunity is because Azalea has a lot of content out there. She has a lot of joints out there. Some are great and some are not that great, right? But here's what I think Azalea is actually I think she's a case study in artistic freedom. Like I think Prince would nod in agreement at Azalea Banks's desire and willingness to just kind of go out on her own and do her own thing. Cause she just tries stuff. Like all the stuff in 2021, I was like, oh, she's trying some new things. Some of them don't appeal to me, but I could see them finding an audience. So I would say yes and Sir Daniel. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Definitely an independent, definitely DIY, and figuring it out as she goes.
She's clearly an artist that she's willing to put everything on the line for her art and for her vision. Mm-hmm. And what we see constantly with Azalea is we see the conflict between the artist and their vision and the industry and what the industry wants. Mm-hmm. But the industry thinks is going to be successful, and then you have that collision. Yeah. And sometimes it either melds and forms mm-hmm. something nice, or you get a mess.
Yeah.
But nobody can say that she did not. She's like Frank Sinatra. She did it her way.
She did it her way. Absolutely. You know what? I pulled up that was the Paul Oakenfold collab that she did. I think it's called Hypnotic. And I actually just before we did the show, I read a quote from him. He was just like, listen, Azalea Banks, incredibly talented. I'm so happy that I get a chance to work with her on this song. And of course she murked it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, of course she murked it. She showed up and did the Azalea Banks thing. So I think even though, to your point, the industry has been like, but we need her to do this. We are going to look back at her catalog years from now and look back on it fondly.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So are we ready for the deuce deuce for number two?
Yo, this was hard for me.
Okay.
This was hard for me. So my number two is Anna Wintour. This joint right here, y'all, this joint right here is so dope. Anna Wintour, I have played this song, Sir Daniel. Look, I got my elbow on the table. I have played this joint on repeat.
Okay.
So many times. And here's what I love. I enjoy when Azalea decides to just go ahead and just sing. I think that's fun. I love the energy of the song. I had to research, because I had never, until preparing for this show, looked up what the song was about. And for her, it was a spiritual song. Mm-hmm. She was like, and she picked the name Anna Wintour because she sees Anna Wintour as kind of like a strong woman. And she decided that that was the title that she was going to give the song. So when I went back and was listening to the song in preparation for this show, I was like, oh, I could hear how she was going in that direction. For her, this was a spiritual. And honestly, I mean, I love it. It feels good. I've never had the opportunity to dance to this on the dance floor. So I need all my DJs who are listening to this to give me some Anna Wintour when I'm in your space next time. Because I'm going to get my life. So yeah, that's my number two.
You know, Anna Wintour, I really thought was going to be like her major, not that it's not a major hit, but mm-hmm. I thought it was going to like really take her over the top. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for all intents and purposes, it did. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just thought I would see her in more places, see her on like morning shows, mm-hmm. See her receiving more song placements in like movies and ads and stuff like that, because that's the type of feel that Anna Wintour gives. So
yep,
big up to that. So now Gil We see you, Gil, out in Chicago. Thank you for tuning in. Gil is kind of iffy on the Anna Wintour, but Gil, mm-hmm. guess what? I got you. Because my number two is Fierce. Absolutely Fierce. And I see Gil was like, Fierce better be on these lists. And yes, Fierce is my number two pick for Azealia Banks, because she completely, I think this was like a viral moment for her.
It was.
Because there was somebody paired this video with old school Vogue footage of mm-hmm. like the kids voguing down at the piers. I think there might have been some clips from Paris is Burning. Mm-hmm. And Fierce is very, underground and very gritty. At the same time, it feels so authentic mm-hmm. to ballroom culture, which I found very, I was like, who is bringing her into this? Somebody, this is very authentic. She has, mm-hmm. she clearly has ties
yeah.
to the community and especially to ballroom community, because this particular song, it sounds very authentic. What took me over the top, of course, is the, I don't think it's a sample vocal, but it's a vocal towards the end of somebody mm-hmm. speaking.
Yes.
And it sounds very reminiscent of a scene in Paris is Burning. Mm-hmm. And the dialogue, which I know everybody, especially Keys, is like, absolutely, the dialogue resonated with everybody. And it made us laugh, but it also made us, at the same time, it was like, you know, it's something to really bop to and really get into. So, yes. Fierce is my, and that's on the Fantasy EP mixtape. Mm-hmm. Fantasy had a lot of joints, yo.
A lot.
I'm gonna say this: Fantasy had, for my number one, Fantasy mm-hmm. had a real a top runner for my number one, and I'll tell y'all at the end mm-hmm. probably what my number one was. It could have been my number one. It was right there, neck and neck. But Fantasy was super, super dope as a yep. project on the whole. I just love how she will go in between club and hip hop, which she does yep. effortlessly. And speaking, calling back to Anna Wintour, mm-hmm. it's very high fashion, right? Mm-hmm. And it made me remember when Azealia first came on the scene, she was co-signed by Kanye.
That's right. Yes.
She was co-signed by Kanye. Mm-hmm. And it just made me think of what would Azealia Banks look like today if that relationship had stood the test of time and they worked together?
I don't know that Azealia would go in this direction now, but I think that there's an opportunity to make the thing I think that this show proves, and the fact that all of y'all are here and tuning in, and we're so grateful for it. And shout out to Carlton. Carlton just dropped in as well. Yes. Good to see you. I think there's an opportunity. If Kanye called Azealia today and they were pulled a joint together, that would be really, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I want to hear what, like, you know, the Tiana stuff, when he did the Tiana stuff on her project, like imagine an Azealia kind of in that same, work that pussy, I think was the joint on her joint.
Oh yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. I don't know. The WTP. Yeah.
On WTP. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. See, here's the thing, though. With what all that Kanye has gone through, I don't think the music isn't reflecting, doesn't have like a fun energy anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, and I think we can still get some fun out of, out of Azealia at this point in her career. But I do think I really would, like, in the early years, mm-hmm. I really wish we could have seen what fun Kanye, what, you know, two polos and pop collar Kanye would have came up with Azealia in that era, because I think it would have been fun. Exactly, Trey. It's like Kanye's production is just, for me personally, I'll say, use my I statements. I like fun energy music. Mm-hmm. And Kanye is not producing that, or does not produce that for me anymore.
Anymore.
So yeah. I just thought it was interesting. I don't know if anybody else has any wants to weigh in on that. Mm-hmm. But if you do, do you ever think about what it would have been like if Kanye and Azalea had maintained their relationship, a musical relationship, mm-hmm. to this day? Mm. And then, so yes.
Well, it's time for my number one. Actually, y'all probably can figure out what it is by now because you know where I'm headed with this. But my number one is, of course, 1991. Ooh la la la, Freddie. Listen, the video, the energy, the beat, the the switch up of the song, run it down, run it down. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of it hits all of the notes. And so on Twitter yesterday, it was dope watching as many people was like, yo, 1991 though will always forever be special, because it was all of the energy that we needed at that time. And so, yes, my number one is 1991 because it feels like my childhood in so many ways. And what I liked in 1991, that was the other thing about that joint, was I, in 1991, this is the type of stuff I was listening to. This is when house music was, of course, exploding. This was that energy. So yeah, that's my number one.
Even the video was kind of reminiscent of Gypsy, mm-hmm. Woman with the black, mm-hmm. suit and the black and white background and the dancers and everything. It had all of those elements. Mm-hmm. And listen, first of all, our list is dope. And I think what we're going to do, of course, we're going to have to come off with a playlist. What
you think, Jerry? Listen, oh, absolutely. Let's figure that out. We're going to have to put in the joints that we wanted to make it and didn't make, because there's so many we could have selected. So yes, playlist
is coming. So many. so many. And like I was saying, should I tell them what the number one could have been, or should I give them my number one?
I think you should do like a YouTube video and say, here was my honorable mention. So do your honorable mention and then we could go into it. Yes.
Okay, so do a YouTube video of the honorable mention.
No. I'm just saying, no, I've made it like that. You just tell them what it is. Yeah.
Okay, bet. So my honorable mention, my number one was this close to being, can I say the curse word, or should I?
It depends on what the word is. So we fine. Go ahead. I don't already said a thing.
Look, you're our yeah, you did. Yeah. So I just want to make sure, because you know you're our yes. policy keeper over here. So the runner up for me was Fuck Up the Fun.
Oh yeah, that's fine. That word also, is up.
Which was also on the Fantasy mixtape. Mm-hmm. Yo, you talking about goals? First of all, the beat is hip hop. But it's tribal. There's something very bare bones about the beat. But the real star of the show is her riding that beat. Because, mm-hmm. again, she flips up. She switches flows.
Yes.
Crazy. No problem with the diction. You understand everything she's saying. but so I'm going to leave it at that. That was my runner-up. However, my absolute number one, and it's a complete departure from everything else on this list. Mm-hmm. My number one was this digital single release that came out in 2017. Mm-hmm. It didn't get a lot of hype. It was just something that she was like, yo, I'm just going to drop this. Chi Chi. Mm-hmm. If you know, you know. Chi Chi is a burner. Mm-hmm. Chi Chi is... is spit from the perspective of, I'm just assuming Chi Chi is from the perspective of a heavyweight drug dealer. Mm-hmm. She's giving us this whole cinematic view of her picking up weight, talking to these, doing all kinds of things in the hood. It's not real, just hood shit, you know. But the beat is so sinister, and I just love the way that she flows on it. Like, there's towards the end, she's like, all of my bitches is getting money they made. All of my niggas is handsome with waves. And I mean, the flow is bananas to me. And I really think, like, if she had a full project of stuff like that, that would have really gone. Like, the hood wanted that. Yes. And she gave it. And so my number one, Azalea Banks song where she completely rocked out my world is Chi Chi. And I see some of you agree with me on that. So if you haven't heard it, you are going to hear it on our, see, some people have not heard it, but if, when you hear it, you're going to appreciate it, especially the street folks, the people that like a good street rhyme.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm so glad we did that. Azalea. Okay, so if Azalea Banks gets the opportunity to watch this, I hope that you realize that you have made a major impact, not just on the industry, but on folks individually. And I think she has given us stuff to strive for creatively. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can try it. Like, I was listening to Tarantula, which is one of the newer, it's like a mini EP. It's like Tarantula and I think Butterfly. Watching you try stuff and watching you explore your creativity is something we all, I know that I aspire to. Really excited about this.
So it's funny, as we were getting ready for this show, I was starting to think of other moments. And yes, Trey, you could tell I'm a DJ. That's definitely a number one pick. Another way that she rocked my world is during some of her her viral video moments. And there was I'm sure all of y'all are familiar with this, but Jerry, let's just get roll the clip in and let the folks see for themselves.
Yeah.
One of our interns here, she said that you make music for gays.
I do.
I'm not the intern. I mean, she looked at me like
what's wrong with that?
Nothing at all.
Nothing's wrong with it.
So,
no, I'm saying now. I mean, it's not specifically for that audience. You just make music, right?
I mean, you can't. I think that's one of the major moments for her as a public figure. You know, because the Breakfast Club, first of all, I'm pretty certain nobody was expecting her to be on the show because of like her relationship with black urban outlets. Like, I really don't, black urban outfits probably don't see a place for Azalea Banks in their bubble and in their format, which we know that's not true because she's got joints.
Right.
So, but however, I think that she and Charlamagne have had conversations and that got her to that moment where she was on the show. And you could tell it was one of those aha gotcha moments where they thought she was gonna flip out or whatever, and she was just like, sure, yeah. What of it? I don't know if it's that's that Gemini humor or, you know, that Harlem flavor. And, you know, I just really appreciated the way that was handled. But I, you know, that's a memeable, Azalea Banks is good for a meme and a gif as well.
Absolutely. And I appreciate it. You know, I had never seen that clip until we was getting ready for the show. And I love the idea. Okay. And maybe we're getting closer to this now, like with Lil Nas X kind of being on the scene, where, cause it's just like, okay, is this a thing? Like, why is this a thing? Actually, we need, The conversation that we must have is how many LGBTQ folks love hip hop and have loved hip hop for history. It's one of the reasons why we do what we do here at Q Points. So what's so weird about that? Like, So I love that moment. It was funny to me.
Also, it also brings up another thing. It brings up this thing again of black people throwing away house music and saying house music is for other people, where we made house music. We created house music. That's as black as it gets, you know? So it brings that up. It's like, we're willing to throw away our music because we feel it's only associated with a particular community and we want to distance ourselves from that, from members of that community who are in fact members of our family, coworkers, you know, your favorite DJ, your favorite MC, all of that stuff. And we're willing to throw it away. So that, you know, it brings that up. And it's a clear example of the Black community on a whole trying to separate themselves because of that mindset of sex and sexuality. It's, mm-hmm. it's wild to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No. And what I love about the songs that we picked too, going back to that as well, and I didn't think about this until you just said that, is it does bring all of those, it brings all of the pieces together. Well, one, because we're holding, as Black people, we're holding all these different pieces, right? And I think that her music also does encapsulate a little bit of R&B, a little bit of disco, a little bit of house, a little bit of hip hop, but a whole lot of Black. You know what I'm saying? And that's important. And we need more of that. I want more MCs. Well, one, y'all probably ain't got the breath control to rhyme over these 120 BPM beats. Like, these is fast beats. You know what I'm saying?
Or y'all gotta put the lean down and the pills down in order for you to be able to flow over stuff like that. So
right. But I want some of y'all to try that. You know what I'm saying? Try everybody, all of our favorite MCs probably have a song where that they had to do it. Big Daddy Kane definitely did.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I absolutely adore Soda is actually my favorite song off of Be Wet, off of Broke with Expensive Taste, mm-hmm. Carlton. So I'm right with you there. That's my favorite song off that album. So this has been a really fun conversation. I can't believe an hour has flown by already. But we alluded to this at the beginning of the show, J-Ray. Some really fun stuff is coming up. And tell them about it. They need to be here. Y'all need to be on board. Quickly.
Absolutely. So if you go to qpoints.com, we just go and throw it in there. If you've already been there, hopefully you have already RSVP'd. Ooh. Before I say this, Sir Daniel, I'm going to put this link in the chat. Make sure you go to qpoints.com. Sir Daniel and I are going to be hosting a Q Points watch party where we are going to watch the Janet Jackson documentary Night One. We're going to watch Night One together. And we want all of y'all to come with us as a family. We want all of y'all to come with us. You could bring a libation. You can bring food. You can bring whatever, because you're going to be at your house. Omicron out there. You're going to be at your house. We're going to be at our house. And we're going to be having a Q Points good time and watching Miss Jackson. Because that new trailer is my God.
I can't wait.
Listen.
I cannot wait.
Cannot wait. So go to qpoints.com for that. But I want to go back to the poll. We did have a couple more people jump in. Still number one. So Broke with Expensive Taste is still number one. But we did get a little more under Fantasy. So there was a Fantasy and a 1991. So it kind of moved the same way. Wow. But I wanted to note that. But yes, upcoming Janet Jackson documentary. Also, please, please, please make sure that you become a Q Points Insider. We have exclusive content that you can watch. And I mean, there's going to be more of it, right, as we get into all of this. So do that and make sure that you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser, and subscribe on YouTube if you haven't done so. I'm going to put the links for all of those in the chat so that you can do that.
There's no excuses, folks. There's plenty of places to reach us, mm-hmm. to follow us on Twitter, you know, shout us out, send us a DM if you got topics that you want to hear discussed. Mm-hmm. You know, we're open to those things. So yes. Please reach out. This show is definitely for you. It's about you. And what we appreciate most and love the most is Black music. So mm-hmm. I've had a great time this evening. Yo, if this is how the new year is starting, I can't wait. This is the first show of 2022. Mm-hmm. I want everybody to remain safe because we got a lot of fun stuff in store for you guys. So please stay tuned. Yes. And what do I always say? We're going to say it in 2022 as well. But at the end of the show, I always say, folks, in this life, you have a choice. You can either pick up the needle or you could let the record play. This is DJ Sir Daniel.
I'm Jay Ray, y'all. Peace.
This has been Q Points. Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good one, y'all.